Well, one thing we can tell Ken for sure, that his voice is not getting feeble. You know, I'm going to stand up here and see all these flashing lights behind me, and I'm going to be tempted to call for Jeff and say, your flux capacitor's going to go. Okay, some of you did see Back to the Future. All right, that helps. Now, just for those of you who haven't had a chance to look around closely at the set up here for VBS, this is the set that Jeff Rose built. And Jeff always, every year, does something more and more amazing to build a set. I want some of you, if you get a chance to before you go to Sunday school today, to stop and look at the set. There are at least 5 references in various places up here to movies, TV shows, or something else. The flux capacitor is right over here. So see if you can find them. Anybody knows the ship over here on the corner? You watch Gilligan's Island? Okay, you got it then. I look at my watch and I'm wondering, Ken, I'm not that long. Oh my. I figure I'm only going to get so many opportunities to do this, so I might as well make as much use of it as I can. But today, with the setup here and what we're just going through, I want to share with you some things, besides a Bible lesson that you're going to get, a little bit about what VBS is and what it has to present to the children who are here. Because many of you are not completely involved, at least this year, with this very special week of VBS, one reason or another, but you deserve to have at least an inkling of what's being given to the kids. So, you'll get that today. Now, you'll also get a little bit more of a look at VBS than sometimes you do if you just see it in the bulletin and say, oh, it's VBS time. Because you see, each year, year in and year out, VBS has a theme and then a picture is built around that theme and used to present it all. Last year, it was going off the map. This year, it was submerged. And all of that is the framework with which we present the material that's involved in VBS. And each year, there is a biblical theme in VBS as well. This year, it's from Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my mind, or know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The VBS motto this year is Jesus sees, knows, saves. Now the first two of those you can take right out of the scripture. Search me and know me and try me. You got to see somebody to be able to do that. Knowing, know my heart, know my thoughts. But the final one, Jesus saves. This is the goal for all of this. This is what VBS is in ultimate all about. It is moving kids, and everyone else for that matter, in the direction of knowing Jesus, knowing salvation in Jesus, and helping kids, adults, anyone, no matter where they stand or where they start, helping them along the journey. That's what all the songs of VBS, and I think the place is still echoing from the noise here, that's what all the food and the fun and the games and the crafts, that's what it's all about. Every day of VBS, there's a Bible lesson. There's also a mission segment, so the kids can discover how people have applied and how they can apply what they learn in real life. Because many of the kids who come to VBS really don't know the word mission. They don't know what missions is all about. The only time they have heard the word mission is in a probably different context. Your mission, Mr. Phelps, should you decide to accept it. Okay, you got Mission Impossible fans out there too. That's good. I was hoping I wouldn't get dead silence for that. But so today, you, there we go. You are going to accept your mission, I hope. And your mission today is to sit back in these pews and hear what God has to say to the kids of our church and our community through VBS. But even more than that, your mission is to listen to what He might be saying to you. All of you sitting here today, young, old, experienced, not new, whatever, to what He might be saying to you, while we explore a little bit more of what Psalm 139 has to say to all of us. Now, in a few minutes, we'll move into Psalm 139, but first, as I told you, every day of VBS week, there is a Bible lesson which is tied into the theme. The Monday lesson is titled, Jesus Saw Zacchaeus. Now, I think a lot of you who have been in church or have been through children's Sunday school remember Zacchaeus. You remember the song about Zacchaeus, and don't panic, I'm not going to sing it. I could see Ken tensing up there, and so, you know, it. But Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Remember that song? But the theme is not Zacchaeus was a wee little man. The theme is that Jesus saw past the outward appearances. He saw past the wee little man part and saw to Zacchaeus himself, the person, who he really was. And Zacchaeus was a man in need of salvation, and that's what Jesus saw through to. Luke 19:1 through 10, if you want to read what that is, this is the scripture that is the theme. And Luke 9 and 10, the last part of this, give you the idea. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." There's your theme. There's your thread running through all of VBS, what we try to convey to all the kids, as well as the parents and adults who are here, that VBS is all about. Seeing, searching, knowing, it's all in the passage, just as it is in Psalm 139. But Jesus moves further. He moves past the seeing and past the knowing and advances to what is only His domain, only His area. He moves to the saving. That's the heart of what kids receive in VBS. Sometimes they're just starting on their journey with Christ. Other times they are almost there. Some of them are already there. But VBS wants to help them move ahead, no matter where they stand, no matter where they start. But for this year, VBS is finished, except for our celebration coming up later. This is Sunday morning. And we're going to dig a little more into Psalm 139, focusing on verses 23 and 24. But to do this, I want to start for a minute and back up a little. Psalm 139, starting right at the beginning, verse 1. Now, remember the words of the end of Psalm 139, and then look at the words in the beginning. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Yeah, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful. It is high. I cannot attain it. What we read in these verses when we think about things is something that's very appropriate for us today. We wonder today about our roles. So many people are looking, what's my role? Who am I? What's my worth? Machines are slowly taking over the places that we once held as workers. It all overwhelms us sometimes. And it forces us to ask some of the age-old questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where do I fit? What does it matter? Know me, Lord. Who am I? Who am I in this world? Here at the beginning of Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. The psalmist says that God searches him. Now, the Hebrew term that originally led to this translation meant something like explore, or the idea of digging into or digging through something and going deeply and turning over all the dark places. The basic thought is that God examines me through and through. He searches me. Not like I'm hiding something, but like he is trying to turn it all over, to make everything clear to me, even if I don't want to know about it. Is there anybody here in this room who doesn't have something plugged somewhere in their head that they really would prefer other people not to know about? Think about it. But the thing is, he knows me. He knows you. He knows the good. He knows the bad. And unfortunately for us, he also knows the ugly. But the thing is here, Psalm 139 is in that group of psalms that's classified as a worship psalm. Think about that. As a worship psalm, we're not going to find a lot of abstract reflections about God's glory. Here, the words are personal. Look at the beginning. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts, you search out my path, my lying down, or acquainting with all my ways. Personal. David is talking about him. He's talking about the individual, not the abstract. He's not reading a theological text. This is something that he knows and feels. You see, David probably wrote this psalm with his head as well as his heart. He's thinking about how God's teaching applies to him. I think I may have just stepped on some toes there. Because, you know, what we need to really do is to stop and think. How does God's teaching apply to us? It's not just reading a book. It's not just taking a class. It's God in your life. It's God interacting with little me. Now, when we get to the end of Psalm 139, we've come full circle. For verses 23 and 24 also have that feeling of searching me and knowing me, but the feeling is different. At the beginning, God is being just, David is just saying, God, this is what you've done. But at the end, the psalmist, David, wants the truth known. He wants the truth that God already knows about us. He already knows our relationship with him. And it appears that David no longer wants to hide anything, even the ugly of life. David wants to be God's man at any cost. And so he invites the Lord to make a complete examination, all of him, to really see who he is and lay it all out before him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. For the psalmist, doctrines such as omniscience, all-knowing, omnipotence, all-powerful, omnipresence, being everywhere present, all these things are just foundational concepts in the Psalms. They are just teaching. They're not just intellectual exercises. He's not just reading a textbook. For David, in this psalm, they are the foundations of a lifestyle as he walks with a holy and righteous God. Does he feel like he's perfect? Absolutely not. But David wants to try. He wants to try his best to live up to what God wants of him. Isn't that what we all aim for? To try our best to be what Jesus wants of us? All of this should affect us, maybe even change us. Stop and think of verses 23 and 24 of Psalm 139 at the end again. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Think of that as a plea, as a cry. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me. See if I grieve you in any way. Lead me in the way everlasting. That is what the psalmist is asking of God. Can you or I dare to do the same? And if we do ask, if we can get the words out, will we ever be the same? Shouldn't such asking affect us? Shouldn't such asking change us? Here are a few ways that it might affect us. First, it might humble us. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Think about this now. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. Wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever thoughts flow through our heads, we cannot escape knowing that God is there. That humbles us, or it should. Number two, stopping and thinking of all this, how God knows us all through and through, comforts us. You say, how can that be? How can it comfort us if God knows all the screwy things I've done in my life? Well, you see, if God has really examined us, if he has really searched us, he knows all about us, even the very worst. And yet, he loves us anyway. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from a love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. I don't know about you, but that's a comfort. It should encourage us as well. We're encouraged to live for God. David's goal, if you read through all of this, was to glorify God and to live for him. But you and I, we really know so little even about ourselves sometimes. But God knows us. He knows our weaknesses and our strengths. He knows the need for rebuking and correction as well as when we need teaching and encouragement. If anyone can lead me in the way everlasting, if anyone can lead us in the way everlasting, it is God. It encourages us. And then it helps us to pray. How can that be? Well, stop and think. Isaiah talked about it in the Old Testament, Isaiah 65, 24. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. We don't surprise God. It's not we ask a prayer of God and he says, oh, I never knew you wanted that. Then Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, spoke these words because he was encouraging those who followed him to pray, to really speak their hearts, to pour out their needs to God, believing that God would hear and answer. Matthew 6, 7, and 8. And when you pray, don't heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then Jesus taught us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want you to think of those last two verses of Psalm 139 for a minute. We've taken a brief look at them. Brief is probably the key word, but maybe you're thinking a little bit more. I want you to consider the implications of those verses for your lives. Can we, with honesty and sincerity, can we speak, can we pray those words? Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can we say that? Think, consider, imagine those words as if they were spoken or prayed by David, as they probably were, in the midst of the trials and challenges of his kingship over Israel. Think of the impact. Search me, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts. Think of the impact on David as the man after God's own heart. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Then imagine those words as if they were spoken by the exiles of Israel coming home to Jerusalem after the captivity, after the exile. They're surrounded by unbelieving eyes and ears and hearts. The city, the holy city of Jerusalem is in ruins. The temple is destroyed. What courage would it have taken? What relationship with God would it have shown to pray those words in the midst of the return to devastation? Is that kind of courage, is that kind of relationship ours? All of us? Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And finally, imagine these words spoken or prayed at least twice in the life of Jesus. Imagine, directed to the Father. Once, as he began his ministry, while all the teaching and speaking and showing and suffering were still to come. But they're not spoken as an idea of, I'm not sure if I can do this. They're spoken as a declaration of intent. Jesus is saying he would follow his Father's will. He would walk the road before him. He would go to the cross. He would die, and he would rise again. Search me, O God, know my heart. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Then imagine again him praying those words as the cross loomed up before him. Maybe even as he was driven up the hill of Golgotha. But those words were not prayed in despair. Those words were probably prayed in immense confidence, not questioning whether he had followed, but knowing beyond all and any doubt that he had followed the will of his Father. As a man, Jesus, he was going to die. But as the Son of the Father, he was opening the doors of heaven to mankind, as his Father intended, and he would rise again. He was going home to God. Now, for someone to utter those words in the kind of situation that we've just thought of was best described, I think, by C.S. Lewis. He wrote in Mere Christianity this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of the man who says he is a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell himself. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he was a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. Jesus sees, knows, and saves. Do you, and I'm speaking to all of us here, myself included, do you want to be a person whose walk with God is intimate and deep? Honestly now, Christianity is simply a ticket to heaven for some people. Is it a toy? Or is it the root and foundation of your life? Your life and your life. Is the business of Bible reading, study, prayer, church attendance, baptism, witnessing, sharing the Lord's Supper, singing of spiritual songs and hymns, whether they be contemporary or traditional, is it something to just calm your guilt and occupy your Sundays? Now realize, becoming a godly person often takes a lot of time. Along the way, it's going to include occasions when you expose yourself, your entire inner being, you empty your guts, you open yourself up to God's searching. Maybe you welcome any insight he may give you, regardless of the difficulty involved in the seeing and searching and knowing. As you go, the daily load of insecurities will fail, will fall away. You'll be saying to the Lord, I will gladly open my life to you, God, every room and every corner of my life. Let me open them to you. Come, examine my thoughts and motives, Lord. Show me what needs attention. Reveal to me what brings you pain that is in my life. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Think of these lines as a prayer. And realize that if you are honest, it's a prayer that requires a very great deal of courage. Would you, every one of us, would we consider asking him for the courage and making that request of the Lord, maybe right now? Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me. See if there is anything in my life that grieves you. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now, you may have been a Christian for 1 year, for 5 years, for 25 years, for 50 years or more. But you can get up. Yeah, some of you are going to have to struggle a little bit, but you can get up and come and pray. Pray with someone here at the front, or just kneel before the Lord and pray. Ask Jesus, Lord, where do you want me to go now? Where do you want me to go now? Because I know all of you aren't young. I certainly fall into that elder category myself. I'm not as... somebody out there. No comments necessary. But it's not easy for me to go as I wanted to at one time. But this is something that my wife has been bugging after me for years and years and years. Because this line applies to all of you out there. He's not finished with you yet. All of you. I don't care if you're 25 or 30 or 50 or 70 or 80 or 90. He is not finished with you yet. Maybe you can't do the same things you did one time, but he's got something for you. Let him search you. Let him know your heart. Let him try you and know your thoughts. Let him open it all before you and then tell you, where do you want me to go, Lord? And if you have been touched by the Lord, but you're not really sure how to proceed, it's really quite straightforward. You don't even have to know all the answers. It's really just like the ABCs. A, admit, repent, admit you're a sinner. Repent, turn from your sin, turn away from your sin, and turn toward Jesus. Trust in him to save you. Admit that need. Believe. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He is God's Son, and in him you can receive God's gift of forgiveness. Because only Jesus can save you. Believe him. And then confess. Confess to your fellow man before others that you have placed your faith in Jesus and you have placed your faith in his hands. Confess that you're trusting him. So if you already know him, or if you're just making that connection for the first time, it's all there for you. Come, pray before him. Pray. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me. Know my thoughts, know my heart. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, don't take this lightly, but don't let it frighten you either. Trust the Lord to do exactly what is right for you and take care of you, because he has searched you, because he knows you as you are, and because you want to walk with him as you step up beside him. Ken, will you come and lead us in prayer?
Father, search our hearts today. And if there be any wicked way in me, Father, we want you to let us know that. Let us ask for your forgiveness. Father, there may be something that somebody specifically needs to do here this morning. We ask you to touch hearts. We thank you for what we've heard from your word. And Father, let us respond as you would have us do so. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Stand together for our invitation. If God has spoken to you, then you need to respond. Pastor Dave will be right here.